Welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and our guest right now is Julio Gonzalez, who founded the Gonzalez Family Office and is the CEO and founder of Engineered Tax Services, Inc. And we're going to talk right now about the infrastructure bill, or so-called infrastructure bill, which would be a huge, huge tax bill. In fact, recently, House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy criticized spending plans from Democrats as, quote-unquote, a redistribution of wealth that he said in total would cost the amount of money we spent to win World War II. Julio, welcome to the program. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, my pleasure. I think they have it right when they're saying that this is going to, you know, exceed some of these wars, and what a problematic bill.
Well, right now, the bill stands at about $3.5 trillion, and I understand there are even still a couple of Democrat holdouts, such as Senator Joe Manchin, that are not totally pleased with this bill. But go ahead and describe the bill itself, if you would. It was all sold, by the way, as supposedly being an infrastructure bill. Let's fix the roads. Let's fix the bridges.
Right, and then you read the fine print, right, and it's 2% for roads and bridges and 98% for really social distribution, like you said, redistribution of the taxpayers to the non-taxpayers for all these, you know, programs, to social welfare programs. So you're absolutely right. It's really called the human infrastructure bill because it doesn't have much to do with roads and bridges at all. It has to do with social giveaway programs so that, and how are they going to pay that? Well, they're going to double the taxes for the people that do pay taxes. So let's create this massive debt. Let's put it on the people that pay taxes, and let's double their taxes so that we can redistribute all that wealth to the people that don't pay taxes so we can continue to evolve towards this socialist agenda they have.
Huh. Well, didn't your family leave Cuba precisely because of these kinds of things?
Oh, 100%. We left Cuba in the late 50s because this is exactly what happened. The government basically took the money away from everyone that made money and basically took it and kept it and redistributed it to everyone in a very communist way, right? Because, you know, basically they don't even help with the medical or anything anymore, right? You know, people are dying there and have no food, no resources, no water. And, you know, basically it just feels like 1950s in Cuba all over again with the start of this program where they want to take tax rates up to 50-60% for, you know, the small business owner, the individual that's working hard, and basically take away 60% of all they earn and then give that to people that don't work so they can have social programs, whether it's for, you know, care, free university, forgiveness of debt, and, you know, medical programs, the green energy bill, right, which is the, you know, most insane, you know, program to support because it doesn't support itself, so make the taxpayer support it. So, yeah, it feels much like Cuba in the 50s.
Is it a foregone deal? I mean, is this stoppable?
Well, I think you're right. I mean, you mentioned that Manchin, you know, is obviously has a lot of power there.
Okay, Senator Joe Manchin from West Virginia, and there's also Kristen Sinema, who's from Arizona, another senator as
yeah.
well. They they're Democrats, but they've kind of, you know, questioned whether they're going to, you know, support this bill.
Right, because their constituents won't vote them back in. Right, they know that. And they know in their towns, you know, especially with Manchin, right, he's got coal, he's got oil, right? So to, you know, raise taxes on everyone in his state to basically support green energy would not be a good move for him. And he also realizes that another $3.5 trillion of debt is not going to be well received in his community. So, and the same down there. So I think ultimately you're right. I think that there are a couple of people that right now are more conservative, even though they're Democrats and can't go back to their communities to pass. It's like tax reform is hard to do. Getting bills passed is hard to do, even when you have the votes, because you're always going to have a couple of people that, you know, are just a little bit more conservative and can't go back to their communities and say that they've basically doubled their tax rates. So I think there is hope, and I think that, you know, those two in particular will stand up and, you know, at least, you know, block a lot of this nonsense and hopefully get something that's more reasonable passed.
Huh. That is a very interesting thing to me about the going back to the parallels with the Cuban situation. Do you think that people who came from countries like Cuba, people who appreciate America for the freedom that it's given, do you think, you know, we ought to hear your voices more about this kind of thing? Because this is like the warning signs. You know, we need to make sure we don't go down the same road Cuba did or Venezuela.
Well, you know, we are so hypersensitive to it coming from it, right? So, you know, we see these bills being proposed and we're ultra sensitive because that's exactly what we saw when we left Venezuela, when we left Cuba, when we left these countries with tyranny. And now we see what happened to us is what they're trying to design in this infrastructure bill. And, you know, it's just shades of going back to the future for us and ultimately very concerning. And I think you're right to hear our voices and understand that these are the signs that we saw back then that are eminent in bringing back or bringing to here a socialist program, which we know that's the agenda for a lot of these people.
Do you think that anybody listening to this should pick up the phone and call your senators and call your congressperson or whatever and express your opinion on this? Because, I mean, this is a very important bill. This could really damage America forever.
Forever. And you're right. I think that it does help to pick up the phone. They do listen. They know that if they're getting a lot of calls that people are not going to, you know, re-vote them in, re-elect them, then they pay attention to that, right? So those calls are meaningful. They do a lot of good, and I think it is important for everyone to pick up their phone and call their, you know, local elected official and share their concerns.
Can you tell us more that's actually in this so-called infrastructure bill that might be make some people wonder, well, why is that in a so-called infrastructure bill?
Yeah, well, we know that what's not in it really to any big extent are the roads and bridges. So we know that's not what's in it. But what we know that's in it is free tuition, free college, you know, a lot of money going to social welfare programs, especially for the elderly and for the poor. We know that it's going to green energy. We know that it's going to welfare programs. You know, it's going to Medicaid and Medicare. And, you know, it's basically, like we started off in this conversation, a redistribution of wealth, because what they're wanting to do to pay for this $3.5 trillion is raise the taxes of everyone that works hard, right? And that's problematic, right? Because how do these individuals that work hard feel motivated when most of their earnings is going to the government and being redistributed? Look, we saw that in California and New York, raising the taxes over the last 2 years didn't work. People left. People left to go to Texas, to go to Florida, and we're going to see that all over again. And the big companies will pull out of the country. We just brought them back in 2017. Now they'll leave again. They'll go back out. They'll take the jobs offshore. They'll take them to Ireland. They'll take them to Puerto Rico. They'll take them to other countries. And then we have less workforce, right? And now you really get to that evolving socialistic country, right? Because the jobs are going, they're bringing more money in from taxpayers to pay for social programs. And this is what we're facing.
Do you think in any way this is an attempt to buy votes?
Oh, 100% to buy votes. 100%. I mean, look, they won't provide amnesty to Cuba when we saw that, you know, there's tyranny going on there over the last month, no food, no water, no internet, no medicine for COVID, any of those programs, right? Meanwhile, they live in their, you know, their castles there, you could say, the Castro regime. So Now you look at here, and we're starting to see those, you know, same things, right? And, you know, they're buying the votes, but they're letting, you know, the southern border people come over, but they don't want the Cubans to come in. We don't want to provide amnesty to them. So, yeah, it's all about buying votes.
Comment a little bit more about the open borders, because you would think that with this infrastructure bill, you know, supposedly being for America's good, how can this southern border just remain open like that? It's a humanitarian crisis, really. It's unbelievable. And let's add to it the COVID factor. I mean, it's just unbelievable, all these things that are happening at once, Julio.
It's hard to believe that we taxpayers, everyone listening here, most of that money that we're going to put in the infrastructure bill is going to be to help these people coming over the southern borders, right, to be here in the United States. And we're going to have to pay for all their Medicare. We're going to have to pay for all their education, for everything. And, again, that's about buying votes too, right? Bring these people in illegally, allow them to live into the social distribution programs and have that paid by hardworking taxpayers and ultimately allowed to vote in those states there. And you're right. I think this is buying votes on many levels. And, you know, they want to be Santa Claus to the people that don't want to pay taxes. And, you know, that's hard to compete against, but we have to.
Now, what would you say to those who say, okay, because, I mean, this is a Christian outlet, and, of course, Jesus says we should be kind and help the poor and so forth, but I will hasten to add that a lot of these socialistic-type people, they're very anti-Christian and very anti-church, and they would be very quick to shut down any form of Christian charity, and then, in the meantime, they would use the force of government, the fist of government, to force these kinds of redistribution schemes, but I do want you to address the Christian side of thing. You know, somebody might say it's the Christian thing to do. What would your response be?
Yeah, I mean, my response would be that the Christian thing to do is start at home. You know, charity starts at home, right? And we got to help our people first, and we got to do what we can to protect the people that are here legally. And then continue to build on the things that we have to accomplish as a country and the programs that we have to build for our people that have been here legally, came here legally, and contribute to the overall program. And to let religion be a blockade to our own good intentions, our own citizens, I think really is a farce.
Is it in effect that Bernie Sanders wrote this bill for all practical purposes? Or, I mean, this is his wish list being represented?
It is him 100%, Bernie Sanders, right? And as you know, he thought the social welfare programs and the government in Cuba was the best model for our country. I mean, he said that so many times, right, that Cuba is a perfect model where everyone is taken care of. But we know that over the last year, we've seen that, right, that they're not taken care of. They don't have the food, the water, the medicine, or any communications. But you're right. Bernie Sanders has always stated that we have to be much more like Cuba because that's how you take care of everyone. And so you're absolutely right about that.
All right. Any concluding thought, Julio, in 20 seconds?
Well, listen, I'm so appreciative of you getting this information to the audience. And again, like you said, let's call our congressmen. Let's call our senators. Let's make sure they're hearing our message.
EngineerTaxServices.com for more information. Thank you, Julio. All the best.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you.